Today, mostly sunny, very warm, high to 85. I'm Bob Barnum, and that is the latest from the WFAS Weather Center. The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman Gross.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm from the law firm Lippman Crooks. We've got offices in White Plains, Fishkill, New York, and in Manhattan. Tonight, our special guest is Ralph Soar, the director of the Westchester R. Kingsley Life Planning Center. Welcome, Ralph.
Thank you, Bernie. Enjoying being here.
It is good to have you here, and I bet you Kingsley Life Planning Center is not a household name for many of us, is it?
No, it's kind of a new innovation that our agency has developed the past few years with the idea in mind of trying to help families look to the future and access resources for mostly for their children who have developmental disabilities.
Who's Kingsley?
Kingsley was Charles Kingsley, a former board member, and his wife, Emily, and her son, Jason, were very helpful to us in giving us sort of the seed money to start the Kingsley Life Planning Center.
So it's a not-for-profit?
Correct. We are part of Westchester ARC, and we are one of the ARCs in New York State. Actually, we were the first ARC in New York State, so we're all part of the Corporation of New York State ARCs, which is now national.
And your role there is, or your title is director?
That's correct.
And what does a director do?
Well, I'm primarily involved with taking referrals from families and helping them access resources and make connections to supports that help them in the process of achieving lives that are rich in community involvement and helping students mostly, working a lot with students. Sometimes we work with older folks in terms of their referring to us. However, most of my contacts are with students who are in high school in transition. So anywhere from, oh, let's say 12 when the first level one career assessment goes on and transition planning on up through their 20s, let's say, but mostly in high school.
So tell me how a referral generally comes in.
Well, I would get a call from a parent, or I might get a call from my school, someone in school personnel, like a social worker, transition coordinator. And they would have questions about trying to decide what to do with their child or their student's future. And I would have discussion with them, trying to establish pretty much where they are in the process. Keep in mind that we're working mostly with students who have developmental disabilities, so there is a fairly substantial support system here in New York for those types of individuals. So I would do some type of a discussion with them to give me some sense of what their goals and dreams are, and also what types, where they are in the current service delivery system, because there's a whole protocol and that people need to fulfill in order to be able to access services for funding purposes.
And how do these people know you exist?
Well, we have a pretty high presence and visibility among the 42 school districts in Westchester, and of course, we've been here since 1949. I mean, way back when, a parent put an ad in the New York Times saying, I have a child with a disability. I'm looking for somebody to play with them. And that was the beginning of the whole ARC movement in New York State and also nationwide. So the Kingsley Center, I've been director for now 7 years. We do a lot of word-of-mouth referral. We also work with attorneys who sometimes contact us. A lot of it comes from the school system and from other word of mouth from parents.
Now, a lot of times when people think of kids with disabilities, they think of somebody on the autistic spectrum. But that's not all of it, is it?
No. Children who are on the spectrum are one part of the whole spectrum of individuals with disabilities. So we work with folks who have Down syndrome. We work with folks who have cerebral palsy, neurological impairments. These are pretty much the categories that are fundable services through Office of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disabilities. That's the state funding arm for all the services that we provide, pretty much. I'd say about 80% of our services are Medicaid-funded, and you also have to be eligible for services through the Office of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disability. Essentially, that means that you have to have documentation to support that something occurred prior to the age of 18 that constitutes a substantial handicap to your functioning and is expected to be lifelong.
So although you're funded in large part by Medicaid, there's no means-tested criteria for the clientele you serve.
Well, indirectly there is, in that if a person, let's say, wants to go into one of our residential services,
right, okay,
if a person wants to go into one of our day programs, the primary funding mechanism is Medicaid, and you do have to, currently the asset limitation for an individual over the age of 18 is $13,050. So there is partially a means test. In some cases, we also do what we call fee-for-service or private pay. If an individual, let's say, has assets and they are not qualified for Medicaid services, we would provide the service on a fee-for-service basis.
All right, so there's options.
Yes, there are options.
Is any of this covered by insurance?
Most of the services that we are familiar with in our agency is not. However, I say most, we have a wellness center. And the wellness center is a wonderful resource to parents because it's pretty much one-stop shopping for things like physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, nutritional counseling, psychiatry, psychological evaluations. So those types of services, in some cases, are covered by insurance, and we have a benefits person in our wellness center who can work with the family to explore what their current insurance coverage is and also to determine whether that would be a covered service. But that, again, is primarily if a person has Medicaid, not Medicare. Oftentimes people confuse that, but Medicaid for community services, then that would be a covered service, all those things that I just listed.
Now, Medicaid is what you have to qualify for. You can't have more than this very limited amount in assets. And in Medicare, I guess you would get either if you're over 65 or you receive Social Security disability for 2 years?
Usually that's the case. Medicare is connected to Social Security benefits where a person is claiming on someone's account. So they're most of the time in our situation, they are a child with a disability who is the child of a deceased, disabled, or retired parent, and so they would get Medicare. Medicare is primarily health insurance, though, so it won't pay for a lot of the services that we offer. Medicaid will. That's the basic difference.
Give me an example of like a typical case. Like, you know, parent calls. What do they say? What issues does the child have, and what hope can you offer?
Well, I'd say typically we would get a call saying that my son or daughter is aging out of high school in 2 or 3 years. They are currently in special education because they have some type of a disability. Oftentimes the families that contact us have a developmental disability, which is mainly looking at the person's IQ. So, for instance, to be eligible for services for OMRDD, the Office of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disabilities, you'd have to have an IQ of 59 or less. Sometimes a person's IQ is a little higher. They can also qualify. So typically a parent would have a child whose IQ range is like that. They are eligible for OMRDD. And I would work with them for the first step would be to become eligible for OMRDD. Then the second step would be the discussion about are they eligible for Medicaid? Now, of course, this is all predicated on the parent saying to me, well, I want my child to work, or I want my child to be in a day program. I would like them to have some community experiences and be with friends and make connections and have a social life and maybe do some work. So that's fairly typical of the contacts that I would have. So I work with them on helping them to sort of establish what is it they want to accomplish, and then drawing on my 30 years of experience in this field, I can help them understand what things they need to qualify for, and I can also help them in terms of that qualification process, like what documents they need, who they need to submit to, and what they need to do next.
Just for the benefit of those of us listening who perhaps have not gone through the process, without using names, tell us a story about someone you recently worked with, what the issues and problems were, and how you helped address them.
Okay, well, we had a referral from a high school. As a matter of fact, this is a person I just spoke with recently She's 20 years old. She's going to be graduating in June. She came to us with the idea in mind of wanting some type of day program. I met with the mother and I met with the daughter. I gave them a tour of one of our programs, which is called Choices. It's a combination of supported employment and day habilitation, which is community experience. They liked what they saw, and they were interested in pursuing that. So I asked them at her some questions about whether her daughter is eligible for Medicaid, because in New York State, when you turn 18, the parents' income is not counted. They're looking primarily at the income of the child. So the child was eligible for Medicaid, and she was also in the process of getting documents together for OMRDD eligibility. I told her that she needed to submit a recent psychological evaluation, a physical, which is within 1 year, done by a physician, and a copy of a social history and a copy of her school record, which is what's called the Individualized Educational Plan. All those materials need to be submitted to OMRDD. So we're trying to get her eligibility so that in July, she would be able to join us in our Choices program. So those documents need to be processed by OMRDD, which usually takes anywhere from a month to 2 months. She also had the discussion with me about guardianship. Most parents don't realize that in New York State, when a child turns 18, they are considered to be their own legal guardian unless there's some type of a guardian appointed. So we do have a guardianship department, so I referred her to our guardianship department, and they could help her with the two types of guardianship that are currently available. I won't get into the technical nature of what they are, but this is a way for parents to plan for the future. This is a way for a parent to know that when they are gone, someone else is going to be helping make decisions for their child. And I'm sure this is something that you're intimately involved with. Quite often.
You're correct. I want you to hold that thought because there's a little bit more about guardianship I want you to touch on. But we got to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Ralph Soar.
Sometimes we're presented with questions that are difficult to face.
Mommy, I don't like my scary dreams.
I know, but Mommy will always be here to make them go away.
But Mommy?
Yes, dear?
Who will make them go away if you die?
Unless we have effective answers to these questions, the results can be financially and emotionally devastating. Littman Crooks provides legal expertise for special needs trusts and estate planning so your loved ones will always be taken care of. For persons with disabilities, a special needs trust can enhance their quality of life while maintaining their public benefits. As a member of the Special Needs Alliance, we design wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and health care directives tailored to your family's situation. Plan for the future today. Call Littman Crooks or visit littmancrooks.com.
Littman Crooks, protecting your loved ones and your life savings. Call 684-2100.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
That's littmancrooks.com or call 684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks. We're based right here in White Plains with offices in Fishkill in Manhattan, or you can visit us online at littmancrooks.com. Tonight, our guest is Ralph Soar, the director of the Westchester R. Kingsley Life Planning Center. And before the break, we were talking about guardianship. And let's just rewind a little bit, Ralph. So the child has a disability, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. Parents are okay, can make decisions for the child, right?
Correct. The parents can make the decision for the child, but then when the child turns 18, they'll always be the parent. I tell families this. You're always going to be the mother. You're always going to be the dad, but you're not necessarily the legal guardian at 18. So it's a good planning mechanism to think about a succession, who's going to make decisions on behalf of your child. And also we have the conversation about supplemental needs trust, which allows families to place money in a legal fashion to assets, so it doesn't preclude the child from entitlements, and I always refer them to a good attorney to have that discussion.
Now, should you wait until the day before the child's 18th birthday to start talking about transition planning and guardianship?
Well, transition planning from the point of view of the school system and special ed is mandated to begin at age 15. All 15-year-olds who are in special education who are IEP track or 504 planning, they should have a transition plan. And what's really important in part of that transition planning is to really look at who that student is in terms of their capacities, their interests and abilities, and where do they want to go. So in the meantime, I can work with these families on helping them, like I mentioned before, line up the various types of resources to accomplish that dream. So transition planning is really crucial for teenagers and parents. And these discussions would include things like guardianship and supplemental needs trusts and Medicaid eligibility and SSI, supplemental security income eligibility, and also those and OMRDD eligibility in Medicaid. So there is a definite sequence that I talk to families about what they should try to put in place in order to have the end result of their child receiving services when they graduate from high school.
All right. So the message, it sounds like, is although you have until 18 to become the guardian, the process has to start earlier, including all the other aspects of the transition planning.
Right. The guardianship is a legal concept, and you can do transition planning without necessarily being the guardian. You don't have to be the legal guardian. But transition planning is really about carving out a future for your child and lining up the services and supports for that.
And would that future potentially for some children include working?
Sure. For many students, work is a very important part. As a matter of fact, I always advocate for trying some type of employment, even if a student is going on to, let's say, post-secondary to college. I mean, I can remember when I was 16 working in a factory, I learned so much about life besides just having a job, getting a paycheck, but dealing with adults, dealing with supervision. It was a tremendous learning experience for me and for students with disabilities, it's also, because it gives them an opportunity to try various kinds of career directions. So we have a transitional career service in Westchester Arc. Michelle Gonzalez is the director of that. And she works with six of our districts with contracts that we have with these districts to provide job readiness classes and job internship and internship development and internship coaching. So the students have a variety of career experiences while they are still in high school, which is really important because hands-on learning, experiential learning, I think has a tremendous value, probably more so than theoretical and book learning when it comes to careers. Actually doing the work, you know, some kids might want to work with animals and then they realize that, well, gee, not all animals are cuddly and friendly. Maybe they're not the greatest, maybe that's not the greatest career direction. But they wouldn't have known that unless they've been exposed to that.
What special challenges do you face in trying to find employment for a teenager with disabilities?
Well, like anybody else, they're entering the labor market. They don't have a resume that is readily available, so they don't have a lot of work experience. And also they're faced with, you know, the usual challenges all the other employees have, which is getting to work on time, transportation, dealing with supervision. So these students don't have a lot of life experience. So that's probably one of the biggest challenges is getting them to be what we would call work ready, where they're able to follow directions, ask for help if they need it, understand working with your supervisor, and trying to help them to develop relationships with their coworkers and also with their supervisors. Because as we know, in this business and many other businesses, relationship is everything. Who you're connected to and how you relate is so important in terms of getting things done.
So when they get the job, if they're fortunate enough to land a job, do you provide or does your organization provide any additional support, such as job coaches and the like, to make sure that the transition goes smoothly?
Sure. That job coaching is real important. We do this with high school students, as I mentioned before, with the contracts that we have with different districts. And also, many students come to Westchester Arc for career services through the VESED referral process. VESED stands for Vocational Educational Services for Individuals with Disabilities, and they would contact the local VESED office, which is on 75 South Broadway in White Plains, open up a case with VESED. The counselor would send them to our agency or to other agencies that provide career services. We would meet with the person, and this could be a student or it could be a 40 or 50-year-old. Doesn't make a difference here. We would do the job development, which is finding them a job based on their interests and abilities. And then we would do the job coaching, which is working with them one-on-one until they get the hang of the job, whether it's the task itself or whether it's issues about dealing with supervision, or maybe even helping them in terms of travel training to be able to get to the job. And that would go on for a fairly long period of time. Then we also provide what's called follow-along services, which is at least two contacts a month to ensure that the person is working successfully. We currently have about 300 people placed in competitive employment throughout Westchester. So we have quite a track record with students and with other individuals who are older, who have disabilities and are looking to work.
That's a record to be proud of.
It certainly is, especially in this day and age when job placements are hard to come by. And a lot of our employees, as a matter of fact, tomorrow we're having a large employer recognition breakfast where we really want to honor the employers for the long-standing working relationships that we have with these employers and with the individuals that are providing work for them.
You know that McCrooks is one of the employers.
We certainly do know that, yes, and we are really appreciative of the relationship that we've developed with you, Bernie.
Yeah, I'm not shy about saying that because we're proud of our relationship with you, and it's been a win-win for both of us, so thank
sure
you.
Sure has.
You've mentioned a couple of times SNT, Special Needs Trust. Does every child who turns 18 need one?
Well, it depends if their child has assets or someone wants to leave assets in their name. We tell folks that, you know, there are certain means tests. For instance, you could only have $2,000 in the bank in the child's name if you're applying for SSI and $13,050 for Medicaid. So if you want to leave money to your child, either through your life insurance or, you know, if Uncle Ralph wants to leave Bernie, you know, we've seen this happen. You know, they left Bernie, you know, $3,000, and all of a sudden that puts them out of Medicaid, and then the services stop because they are no longer Medicaid eligible. So it's for folks who plan on leaving money or know that money is coming to the child as a way for them to put that money aside to really help the child in the future but not preclude them from any of the entitlements and benefit programs.
We're talking with Ralph Suhr. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the spectrum of services he offers. This is Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. We'll be right back.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Littman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, or at littmancrooks.com.
Welcome back to the Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney Show. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And tonight we're talking to Ralph Suhr, and we're talking about Westchester R. Kingsley Life Planning Center. And Ralph, there's a ton of services that are offered. I know you want to mention a whole host of services that are available, and why don't you just tell us a little bit more about it?
Sure, Bernie. Well, when I meet with these families and we're talking about what the options might be, and of course, depending on what they want to do, we have to make a right fit. That's always the big challenge, is getting the right fit. And our spectrum of services that we offer include, as I mentioned before, you know, the vocational and the career training. We also have what we call pre-vocational services for individuals who are not quite ready to enter the competitive employment labor force. In other words, where they're hired by an employer and paid a regular competitive wage, they might need some training prior to that. We have pre-vocational services. I mentioned before our wellness center has that whole variety of things like the speech and language, occupational therapy, psychiatry, and psychology. We also operate 44 residences. We're the largest provider of residential services in Westchester, and these residences range anywhere from a 12-person residence where people need total care on up to the two guys living in a condo in Peekskill who get on the bus and go to work and then need maybe 12 or 15 hours of staff support to balance their checkbook and make sure they're shopping okay. So we have a big residential department. We also provide Medicaid service coordination. We have 13 service coordinators. And this is a key role in accessing things like residential services, vocational services. You have to have a Medicaid service coordinator. I supervise also the Choices Program, which is a combination of supported employment and rehabilitation. We have recreation services, weekend programs, and week-long programs during the summer. We have a respite house. A respite is designed for parents to get a break. And actually, for some of the teens, it's a great place for them to go because it's the first time they might have been away from home from mom and dad for a night or a weekend, and we have a highly qualified staff who work with them and provide activities for them while they're there at the respite house. So we, as you can see, we have a very full-spectrum agency, and for a parent, it can be really one-stop shopping once they connect with Westchester ARC for all their service needs if they have a child with a developmental disability.
What's the STAR program?
The STAR program works mostly with students who are in school. I mentioned before that we do the job readiness classes, we do internship development, and we also help them with life skills. So the STAR program is designed to provide services to students who are in high school, and that's done through a fee-for-service basis with the district.
Now, it's not with every district. You have to have certain arrangements with the district, right?
Correct. We offer it to any district. Oftentimes, the districts who don't have a good transitional program will contract with us because and sometimes it's more cost effective for the district to contract for the service with us rather than to for them to develop all these services within their district.
Okay, so when you say fee for service, it's the district that pays, right?
That's correct. And we have actually recently a parent approached me for some job coaching and job development services that she wanted to purchase directly from us for her son, and we were willing to do that also.
Good deal. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We'll be right back to wrap up with Ralph Soar.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Littman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, or at littmancrooks.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm Bernie Crooks, and we've just got a few moments left. Ralph, why don't you give us some closing thoughts?
Well, I would say that, you know, for families, again, who have students who are in high school, start early. Think about transition planning at age 15. Involve your son or daughter as much as possible in the process to help them learn to be good self-advocates, to speak for themselves. Connect yourself with a good service provider, an adult service provider agency, which is actually one of the requirements of transition planning. In an agency like ourselves, we can help families navigate this. It's an incredibly complex system. It's not like high school where you're entitled to the education. Here in adult services, you have to seek it all out. And we also work a lot with families whose children are older, not necessarily just teenagers. So anybody with a developmental disability, it would behoove them to contact us or another agency to help them with the process of obtaining services.
So I'm going to presume you've motivated every single one of our listeners and they want to get in touch with you. How can they do it?
Well, they could reach me at 914-495-4620, or they can reach me at our westchesterarc.org. That's our website, westchesterarc, all one word, .org, and there is a life planning button there that they can click on. Or my email directly is rzuer, that's my last name, S-Z-U-R, first initial Ralph. So all one word, rzuer@westchesterarc.org.
Ralph, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Bernie. It was my pleasure.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We'll be back next week. Good night, everyone.
perfect company at home, work, or driving around town. Westchester's soft favorites. WFAS.
Hardly express my mixed emotions.